God is good. Amen. We can look around and we can say, what's there to be thankful for? You know, sometimes you do have to step into the realm of faith and thank God in faith for things that are happening or going to happen. You know, all we ever do is we pay attention to just what's going on in the news or what we're hearing about, it doesn't look very promising, does it? But if we thank God and continue to give Him praise for the things He does and the things that He is, we'll see God move on our behalf. Well, yesterday we celebrated with our children a marriage. And afterwards, you know, I was heading over to the lodge to celebrate with food and fellowship and dancing. And I was listening to a song on the radio. It's a very popular song called Happy. If you've watched any Mini Cooper commercial, you know exactly which song. Because I'm So Happy by Pharrell Williams. And there was a particular line in there that caught my attention. And he said, clap your hands if you know what makes you happy. There's different things that make each one of us happy. You know, well, you couldn't have missed it just a few minutes ago. A very loud motorcycle just went down the street. I looked over at Rob and I said, my heart rate just went up. And, you know, but I just kept thinking about that, you know, because I'm happy. And what makes us happy? Now, this is not a message actually about being happy. Because being happy is one thing, but joy is a totally different thing. And you say, well, Pastor, it sounds like it's all the same thing to me. Well, not really. It's not. And after I get done with the message today, which I cannot promise you is going to be real long, I told Angela, I said, I prayed, and I said, Lord, what's the message? I said, I don't have, you know, obviously we had a lot of stuff going on this week, and still to finish up today. And I said, I love these people, but I said, I'm looking forward to tomorrow evening when everything's done, because we still got a few things to do yet. And but I said, Lord, what's the message for them? And I woke up this morning. I don't know, it was still dark outside, and all I had going through my spirit was, because I'm happy. And but as I laid there, and let the Holy Spirit speak to me. Some, you know, people say, well, the Holy Spirit doesn't speak to me. God doesn't speak to me. Shut up. He speaks. You got to shut everything off. All your thinking, and that's why I know God likes to talk to me right at that moment, because I haven't had a time to worry about things. You know, as soon as you wake up, we start thinking, oh man, I got to do this, this, and this. Boom. You're not going to hardly hear the Holy Spirit unless you have really fine-tuned that you can hear through the screaming of everything that's demanding your time. And but as I was laying there, you know, I heard that song, and you know, the word happy really isn't in the Bible, but the word joy is. See, and we've translated the word joy over to be happiness. Well, we got to be happy if we're joyful. Well, you don't understand the word joy. First off, the word joy in the Bible is the Greek word chara. It's where we get charismatic, charisma, character. Chara. Now, it does mean, in our language, gladness. It gives you images of dancing, images of singing. That's why we are a charismatic church. We are a happy church. I have no problem being a happy church. And because I move around, I actually had ministers, other people that saw me preach, say I'm a violent. And as I looked up the word, I'm like, being Marine, I understand the violence. But I'm like, I was being on my best behavior that day. And I found out it just means I move. There's a lot of action to me. And so, it's to each his own in this, okay? If somebody doesn't like it, go to a church where the preacher would prefer to stand still. I can't stand still. I was the kid who usually got pulled away, separated out of the group and sat in a corner by myself because I just couldn't sit still. Some of you school teachers understand what I'm talking about. There are those of us who are like that. Nowadays they say, oh, you got ADHD. Well, actually, I had no problem sitting still when I had a wrench in my hand or something else. It was just, I learned a little differently. But joy in the Bible, if it's properly, and this is what the definition in Strong says, if it is properly interpreted, means the revealed or recognized grace of God. That changes things a little bit, doesn't it? It doesn't mean we roll around on the floor, we dance, we shout. It means we're walking in the recognized grace of God. We know grace to be favor. So when you start thinking about that, when the Bible tells us in Galatians that one of the fruits of the Spirit is joy, it means we're walking in recognized grace of God or favor. When you walk in somebody's favor, do you understand? And especially when somebody is more powerful. Let's put it this way. If you walk in the favor of the president, you really can do no wrong. Okay? You really can't. The president will go to bat for you. You walk in favor with your boss. He will stick up for you even though you messed up. That is recognizing. Now, abusing it is another issue. But walking in the recognized grace of God brings us joy. And so that's where it starts translating, and it brings us into the gladness, into the dancing, the singing, the shouting, the moving around. We have to do something. And so when we're walking in the joy of the Lord, kind of starts giving. Do you ever think it was funny that David, how many of you really have paid a whole lot of attention to this? David did not really, he loved God's word, he loved God, but his walk was a totally different walk with God than anybody at his time. They understood God through law. David understood God through his grace. David messed up countless times, and yet God said, this is the one I want. He understands my heart. He didn't want people that understood his hand. He said, I want people who understand my heart. And David rejoiced. David was a dancer. Like I said, David was the artsy type. He liked to write poems. He liked to write songs. And he liked to dance. Okay, in those areas, I draw, but that's it. That's just kind of as far as I can relate with David. The warrior side, I can relate with him. But it doesn't make either one of us right or wrong. He loved to dance, so much so he got right down to his underwear. And, we had the dance floor up there last night, and, there were people out there. I thought, holy smoke, I never thought I'd see them out there, as I sat in my chair. and it was fun, and I loved watching it. They were having fun, but nobody danced hard enough that their clothes fell off. David took it above and beyond what was expected or even acceptable in his society. So much so that his wife Michal looked out and said, "You are debasing yourself. You're the king of Israel." And he says, "Oh, honey, for the joy of the Lord, I'll go even further." When you're already in your skivvies, there's only one thing left to lose. And he did not care. But God showed him so much mercy and so much grace that David understood this. And he had to rejoice because the Ark of the Covenant was coming home. And at that time, the Ark was the house of the Holy Spirit. Listen, today we are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We are where the Holy Spirit dwells. The Holy Spirit does not dwell in this building. The Holy Spirit was meant to be living, not contained in a box. And so that is what enlivens us. That's what gives us power. That is what gives us life. That makes us want to move, makes us want to shout, dance, laugh, cry, write poems, write songs, draw pictures, paint pictures, whatever it is. That is the Holy Spirit. But Jesus said something. Open your Bibles this morning to John chapter 15. I'm going to read off the thing because my reading glasses are in my jacket at home. John chapter 15, verse 11. "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full." Remember what I just said about the word joy. It is the recognized grace of God. Jesus said, "I've spoken these things." I'll read that in a second. "These things I've spoken to you, that my joy," Jesus said, "that my recognized grace of my Father will be in you, so that your recognized grace can be filled." Now, there is something we do have to look at, though. What was he talking about? Now, this isn't going to come up here unless he's really fast. I may have to have him bring it up. Verse 9. Go back up to verse 9. It says, "As the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." So Jesus is saying, the love that the Father has shown me, I dwell in. I live in it. We want to recognize God's grace. We got to dwell and live in his love. Okay? "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that you may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you." See, we want power. We want to recognize grace. So what we understand, we've come to teach is, again, and I have no problems with praying for people for things, but we think that there's a magical thing that's going to take place. We're going to come up here and suddenly we're going to recognize the grace of God. The grace of God only comes through walking in love. You have to walk in love with everybody, with other people. You can't become a hermit and say, "I'm walking in love." No, you're not. You do not get to exercise love unless you're around somebody. And you get to really exercise love when you're around somebody who rubs you the wrong way. That's when love really works. Love does not work if you're with people that you can respect and honor. It's the people who drive you nuts, that you just kind of want to reach out, grab them by their lips, and pull their lips over their head. Okay? Those are the type of people that we have got to love. It's not our buds. And we have to have our friends like that. You understand me? Because if all you ever do is hang out with the people who are pulling away, because that's what they're doing, they are pulling out of you. They're pulling energy. They are pulling love out of you. You have got to get back around. It's why we come together around people of like faith who love. And we refill our tanks, so to speak. That's why so many people, it's amazing. They say, "Oh, I just couldn't wait to come to church Sunday, Pastor. I just been a rough week." That's because their love tanks are low. And they need to come around, and they get around. It's not because suddenly I preached a word that, you know, and ministered straight to them, and the Holy Spirit came down. That doesn't happen all that often. But yet, when they walk out, they say, "Thank you. That was the word I needed." It was, and most of the time, it's when I'm preaching on love. So when we're talking about the joy, we've got to walk in God's love. And when we walk in it, we start recognizing God's grace in our own life. God, you didn't smite me. I failed you again, and yet you picked me up. You didn't condemn me. And Jesus said, if you love one another, now this is a commandment to believers. This is a commandment to the body of Christ, not just these disciples. But we are to love one another. The Bible says love is all kinds of things. And love will cover the multitude of sins. Jesus did that. And we're supposed to walk in that love. Paul said, if I do all these great things, but I don't love, I'm just a noisy cymbal. Again, I told you, it's a trash can lid clanging. It's not the graceful playing of cymbals in a band. It is just racket. It is just noise. And that's all it is to God. If we do all these things, but yet we don't really love people. And I'm going to tell you right now, we can't love people when we live in ivory towers. I'm not bashing anybody. Don't nobody go, pastor's out there talking against this ministry. No, I'm not. I'm just saying if ministers and people, I'll start with the ministers because I'm one, and we'll come right down into to the lay people, which is you. If all of us do not get dirty, we don't get down and we help people, we do not love. I have the utmost respect for ministers when I see them, not just for their advertisements or their commercials, out ministering to the needy, to the people who need it. And if that's all they ever do, then they will not give my money anymore. I will only give it to the people who are working for it, who are saying, I really love these people. Now, I've talked about this before as far as with Peter, you know, in the book of Acts, when they came and said, you know what, you're not taking care of your widows very well. And Peter said, well, appoint 7 people and, you know, put them over top of it because it is better for me to preach the word right now. And it was right there at that time. But we can no longer hold on to that mentality because the problem is we've lost something along the way. We have developed, and you've heard me say it 1,000 times, and it'll be 1,001, I hate the business of church. Ministries have got to go into, and this ministry is not in my name, just so you know. I refuse to do it. I said, God, this is not my ministry, it's yours. Yeah, I'm responsible for a lot of stuff, but they do it for financial gain. That's the reason to do it. And I don't want any part of that. And I'm going to tell you right now, God blesses me above and beyond. And he comes through every time I need him. And if I'm sitting there saying, well, God, I don't have 10 Harleys in my stable. I don't need 10 Harleys. I can ride a bike for about 5 minutes and then I can't feel my fingers anymore. So. And you know what? Well, pastor, believe, go get surgery. Believe God for healing. Well, maybe God allowed that to happen to wake me up on some things. Even though I have to say days like yesterday and today and a bike going down the road just now gets my attention real easy. But you see, Jesus wanted us to walk in the revealed. He said, my joy I'm giving to you. I'm leaving it for you. In other words, I'm imparting into you the revealed truth that I've walked in with God. Do you understand? Jesus walked in this all the time. Every miracle he performed, he was walking in the grace of God. As a matter of fact, I love this when everybody says, we got to get the word out that so, such and such preacher's coming down. The greatest preacher of all time said, don't tell anybody I'm coming. And he drew the biggest crowds. It's an amazing thing. He's doing exactly the opposite of what we do today. People tell us, oh, you need better advertising. You need to get out here. You need to do this. You know, you need a bigger footprint. No, I don't. I don't need anything. God will bring those who need this, who need to be here. And he always does. Whether they're just passing through or not, that's not my deal. And God has worked with me over the years to get over that. Some people, it is there. They're going to come through, and then there's others who are going to stay. Because it does require a planting to function. Trust me, three people can't do it all. It requires a lot of people to do it. Now, jump over to John 16 and verse 24. This one I do have up here. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive that your what? Your joy may be full. Imagine that. If we ask God and we understand and we walk in the revealed truth, the revealed grace of God, our joy will be full. We will recognize the power of God. We will say, you know what, God? I'm going to trust you in everything. You get a hole, a tree goes through the roof of your house. So what? I don't worry about it. I know there's a lot of people that think I should. You know, I had a 65-foot branch fall off of one of my trees. That's the branch. That wasn't the tree. And the tree was over 20 inches, or the branch was over 20 inches in diameter. That's as big as most trees. This tree is about this big around and about 90 feet tall. And this branch fell, laid right across my driveway, missed my house by about 3 inches. Yeah, it's close. Didn't hit it. I ain't got to worry about anything. And if it does, that's why I've been paying homeowners insurance for. They do that, I see a little minor remodel coming to the roof. But anyhow, when we walk in God's favor all the time, he said, you ask what you want and you will receive it. But let's go back again to what he was teaching just a few chapters before. This is all in the same message. He's sitting with his disciples, teaching them. He's wrapping up his earthly ministry. He said, but if you walk in love, if you abide in love, you're going... This is kind of difficult. Everybody's spread in this big gap right here. I don't mean to be ignoring people over here. But he said, if you will walk and abide in my love that God showed me, did you ever stop and think about it? The things Jesus had? He needed a ride into Jerusalem. What did God provide? A colt that had never been ridden. Let me explain that to you in modern day terms. That's a car with leather seats that nobody else has ever broke the leather in. Okay? The best. His clothes. He's a prisoner, okay? He is now considered scum. But his clothes were of such quality, the Bible says the guards decided not to shred them, but to gamble for them as a whole. He lacked nothing. People wanted to follow him, and he said, you know, the foxes have their dens, the birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He wasn't saying he was homeless. He said, I don't have any one particular place to call home. And that was indeed his calling to do that. But I can promise you this, folks, he had the best. He didn't lay out there on rocks. And if he did, I got this funny feeling he knew how to turn them into a pillow. He turned water into wine, did he not? And they didn't use the rotten stuff. Did you pay attention in that miracle? He said, you saved the best for last. And this was stuff Jesus just made. This was the best stuff. So God does not give his children junk. You can have the good things as well. But your faith is going to have to come up to it and recognize the grace of God and the favor. God will meet you at your faith level. Now, this one I do not have up there. Here was something I had, it totally means something totally different now. The parable of the talents. We all know it, right? One talent, five talent, ten talent. The first one kept it, buried it in the yard. He got called a wicked, evil servant. He said, you should have at least put it in the bank and let it earn some interest. Here, depart into utter darkness, you evil servant. The second one, he said, Lord, I know you to be a powerful man. He knew the exact same things the one with the one did. He said, but I knew you to be a powerful man, a man who sows or reaps where he has not even sown. He's got money coming out his ears. And he said, so Lord, I took your five talents and I put them here and I have come back now with ten talents. That's a pretty good return on your money. And here's what Jesus, or the master, had to say. Remember, he always, some of these he said, the kingdom of heaven. So 25, 21. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Never caught that before. It means something totally different than just, here's the happiness you get to live in. Welcome to my favor. Remember what I just told you about favor? Favor can open doors for you, or favor can shut doors coming against you. When we were in North Carolina and God started ministering to us about things we were going to do, that we were like, we have no clue what's going on here. And the word of the Lord came to Angela one time, I think, with Dr. Williams, and he said, I have given you, that was just a holy, well, yeah, it's the word of the Lord to you, not through somebody.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no. No, God spoke to her and said, I have given you favor in Morrow County. Now, I can see that with her. I mean, her family, especially over around the Johnsville area, more well-known than mine. I mean, mine, we tried to stay under radar and all that, and, you know, didn't associate with a whole lot of things. So I'm like, you know, nobody's going to miss me. And if, you know, we don't ever go back to the county. But God said, I gave you favor. Guess what happened when I married her? The two become one. I entered into her favor that God gave into this county. And I need you to understand something. I walk in that favor God has given in this county to her. That didn't just stop there. We have had favor with the state, with building inspectors. They like me. Don't know why, but they do. And I'm not going to do anything to mess that up. They are good people to have the favor of. They've made sure that what I did was right. But everybody else I ever talked to said, oh, those guys are just jerks. This one in particular. Pat was even here with us. I said, all right, I found out a little bit about him. Pat, I want you here. This is what I want you to wear. Man, we walked around that. We just talked. God had given us favor the second that man got out of his car. Favor. It moves things. It opens doors and it closes doors. Sometimes closing a door is not a bad thing. Everybody's like, oh, I don't want the doors closed. There are certain doors I want to close. And they're called floodgates. Let's feel free to shut those floodgates. God can do that. The Bible says He will do that. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the standard of the Lord will rise up against him. He will shut the doors. We need that. That's the favor of God enacting in our lives. But we have got to walk in it. I can't walk it for you. You can't walk it for your children. They've got to go it themselves. They've got to learn it. And if they don't learn it, their life will be miserable. So all you young couples, all you young peoples, listen to me. Learn it and learn it quick. If you can take what I'm teaching you now and apply it to your life tomorrow or even today, you will see how God will move. When you honor God. I told Jesse and I were talking last night. We got home a little bit before midnight. And we let the dog out. Boy, he was just, he was beside himself. He's like, oh, I missed you so much. And we're sitting outside on a couple of logs out there by the fire ring, and he's just running around in the dark. You know, it's kind of fun to watch a black dog run in the dark. Especially when you're throwing a frisbee to him, and he's running this way, and the frisbee's going that way. And you hear the frisbee hitting him. But anyhow, we're sitting there, and Jesse's just like, man, it is such a beautiful day. And, you know, compare, think about this. Last week, when this stuff rolled in, I was like, Lord. But I told Jesse, I said, I want you to see something. They've honored God. They've honored God. And they found His favor. That opens the world of possibilities. I will share some things real quick on that. Just to show when you find the favor of God and you're walking in it. She got a new job. It was more money than she was making. Better hours, better benefits. Turns around a couple weeks later, something happens, a position's eliminated, she's going to get more work, she gets a pay raise. Joshua, he's been there, well, Christmas time, he got a pay raise. His immediate supervisor said, I think you deserve a pay raise. You have the highest numbers in the shop. A couple weeks back, he met with one of the owners and was talking. Yeah, no problems. And he said, you enjoying what you're doing? He says, yeah. They send Joshua to school. He passes some courses. Some of them he was worried about. He's never been a strong electrical guy, and he was concerned about it, but he passed. And he got up one morning. He gets direct deposit. He looks at his deposit, and he's like, that's a little more than it's supposed to be. I had some overtime, but not that much. And he got the look in. He had gotten a pay raise. The owner had went back and said, give him a pay raise and make it retroactive from this date. That's the favor of God. He wasn't down. He kept saying, Dad, should I ask him if I'm going to get a raise for being here a year? And I said, I don't know. I said, you'll get a raise. I said, you'll get a raise. They'll do what's right. You'll get a raise. See, we have to teach our children to trust God in all things. He will make a way. And if we teach them to honor Him, we've taught our children to tithe. When they tithe, God opens up the windows of heaven for them. And then they got to start walking in that favor. It's one thing for the windows of heaven to be open. It's another thing to walk in it. We think that something happens, that suddenly God's going to pour out blessing, and we don't ever have to do anything. Yes, you do. You've got to move. You've got to take a step and go forward in it. And God will bless you in that. That's why He said, ask what you will. You need this? Ask me. Ask me for it. that your joy may be full. It brings gladness. You know, it brought me such gladness when I heard that. Such, in our language, joy, happiness, to hear my children prospering. That's what the Apostle Paul said, wasn't it? He said, nothing brings me more joy than to hear that my children are doing well in the Lord. His spiritual children, because he had none. But think about that. What brings you the most joy? When your children prosper. And especially when they're doing it the right way. And sometimes it seems like all hell breaks loose. I ain't going to say everything's always been hunky-dory for them. And there for a while, it's like, man, what's going on here? But God turned it around and said, you've got to trust me. They trusted God. He opened the doors. You want blessing in your life? You want things happening in your life? You've got to trust God. If you don't ever take a step through the door, you will never walk in the recognized grace of God. It'll never happen. Because you're standing here and the door's open. But you refuse to take the step through. Until you take that first step, nothing changes. You know, it's in the Bible, back in Genesis, when Moses is on the mountain and he's looking for a sheep or for some sheep, and he's going away and he looks and he catches a glimpse of a bush that's burning, but yet it's not. And the Bible says that he turned, and that's when God started talking to him. When he turned away from what he was doing, which was important, but he turned and he went. That's when God began moving in Moses' life. You want to hear from God? You got to start taking those steps. You got to start doing the things that he has asked you to do. He requires. That's why we teach tithing. You don't tithe, you're robbing from God. That's scripture. Feel free to read it. Malachi chapter 3. It's a good thing to read. I don't read it all the time because I don't feel like I need to browbeat everybody. Periodically, I know I have to teach it because we get people in here that have never heard it. Because it was not taught. Because most churches taught that you're more holy if you're poor. No. I've been pretty poor and it didn't work out all that great. Because when I wanted to bless somebody, I didn't have anything to bless them with. Because to be honest with you, I was in just as bad a shape as they were. Even though our family did help what we could growing up, how much more could we have done if we'd have had more? So poverty isn't next to godliness. I want everybody for their joy meter to be maxed out, because you recognize, you realize the favor of God in your life. And by the way, that doesn't stop just with, as Jesus was saying, you've never asked me for anything, but now I say, ask in my name. And if you've ever wondered why we pray in the name of Jesus, that is part of it. He said, ask in my name. That's why I think it is important we pray in Jesus' name, whether you say it at the beginning or the end. And there are a lot of times I cover both bases, primarily because it just became habit. But our true joy isn't about whether we're feeling happy that day, whether we got to hear Pharrell Williams' song Happy or Bobby McFerrin's Don't Worry, Be Happy. You know, to this day, Bobby McFerrin will not sing that song because he was asked to sing it so many times when it was hot. And he said, never again will I sing that song. But if you trust God and you walk in the revealed truth that God is showing you, we all have different eyes. Sometimes God shows us something a little bit different. We're individuals. Let's remember this. We are individual people. God didn't create us to be clones. God shows me something this way. God may show Pat something a little bit different. We've got similar backgrounds, similar likes. But God may show Pat something over here. And it's not that it's a different path. It's Pat's perspective's over here. Mine's over here. If we're sitting there looking at a tree, Pat's on this side of the tree and I'm on that side. And I'm like, no, Pat, the big branch that goes up to the right. He says, no, I'm looking up to the big branch that goes to the left. Pat, you're wrong. It's going to the right. He's like, look at it from my perspective. Oh, it does go to the left. It's the same tree. It's not saying that Buddha is right. That Islam is right. I'm not saying that. So don't confuse what I'm saying with I'm saying that all roads lead to heaven. No. Jesus is the only path. He's the only way to heaven. The other roads lead you straight to hell. Keep that in mind. But here's the problem. There's a speck of truth in all religions. A speck. Remember what I've taught you about the chocolate chip cookies and dog poop? You can have one chip made out of dog poop. All the other ones can be real, but that one chip is going to scream louder than the real ones. So if you were hungry, I just took care of that. So I want, as Jesus said, I want you to walk in the joy of the Lord, that your joy may be full. Don't let anybody steal it. Say, well, you know, if you want that, you gotta fast 10 times a month, and you gotta do this, and you gotta do that. If God tells you to fast 10 times that month, you had better fast 10 times that month. He's got a reason for it. God tells you to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and pray, your butt had better be up at 6 o'clock in the morning praying. That's all there is to it. There is no magical formula that works for all of us. My sister, same parents, same household, but we are different. We see things differently. We do things differently. Doesn't make her right and me wrong, or me right and her wrong. It's our personalities. So God says, Barbie, I want you up praying at 7 o'clock. And God might say, Art, you're not to go to bed until 3 o'clock. Who knows? All I'm saying is, I want everybody to walk in that joy and that power. That's the real power of the Holy Spirit, folks. See, everybody's worried. We're so amazed by little weird things that happen in services. You know, I'm going to say this. I know people... angel feathers falling from in the church, and they're called parlor tricks. Okay, even the witches can perform the same things. Okay, they did it in Moses' time. However, what they could not do was walk in the power and the favor of God. The magicians did the same trick that Moses did. But God said, here, Moses, you walk in my favor. Watch what I'm going to do. Moses is snaking. I don't know why none of the other ones did this. But man, the old Ten Commandments, that snake slithered right over there and swallowed them up. That to me is more powerful than the thing turning into a snake to begin with. The fact that God says, I will not be bested. And I want you to keep that in mind. God will not be bested by the devil. When it comes to your life, you are his child. I know you would, as I would. I would go through hell and back. Jesus did. Keep that in mind. And he will not be bested. Not by somebody he's already kicked their butt. Let's stand. This week, I'm throwing you a challenge. I can about promise you that as I was preaching, every last one of you started thinking about something God's been challenging you in. So here's your double dog dare, and you can't back down from a double dog dare. Do it. What's God been telling you to do? I'm going to promise you, he's going to stretch you. He's not going to ask you to do something you've already done and conquered. He always pushes us to the next level. And it seems like it cost us. And we're like, Lord, this can't be right. I'm not hearing you. And he says, no, this is what I want you to do. You want to go to the next level with me? Do it. So here's my challenge. Do what God told you to do. And by the way, he doesn't just throw arbitrary directions out there. He gives you directions. He led the children of Israel on purpose. They knew where they were going. So many people today are teaching, well, you know, God, we don't know what God's going to do. Yeah, you do. If you don't, you don't move until God gives the orders. That's a simple, okay, God, you told me to do this. I stepped out. Here I am. I'm on the water. You said, get out of the boat. Now what? Oh, look at the situations around me. Oh, man, I screwed up. Boy, did I. He said, keep your eyes on me. Keep your eyes on me. Don't worry about what the world looks like. Don't worry about what your neighbors are saying. Don't worry about what your family says. Families are crazy anyhow, aren't they? My family had better agree because we're all crazy. Some people say we suffer from craziness, but we enjoy every minute of it. I had to rearrange that because I didn't want to make fun of mental illnesses. But let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are truly honored to be called your children. Father, we thank you that you sent your Son on this earth not only to die for us, to die for our sins, so that we could be called your children, but Father, that he said, I leave you my joy. Father, help us all to walk in that recognized grace. That, Father, that as we move and we step out, you will bless us. So, Father, I pray right now for each and every person in here. I pray for strength and courage. Courage. Lord, and I cast down every thought and imagination that's coming against him, every voice that is speaking against him right now. In Jesus' name, I cast that thing down and command it under their feet. Father, I thank you that as they step out, Lord, you will be there just like that. Just like even when Peter looked at the situation and began to sink, you were there. You never forsook him. So, Father, move in their lives as you've moved in mine and are moving in mine. Father, as I've trusted you more, you've continued to move for me. Now, Father, I bless these people. Lord, I thank you for them. I pray that as they go about this day, Lord, that you order their steps. You help them. You lead them. You guide them. And, Father, I thank you that as they are they're stepping out in some of these new areas, Lord, that you're standing right there and that they see you. In Jesus' name, amen.